Welcome back to the Trifecta Yourself Podcast. I'm your host, E-Rock. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button if you haven't already so you never miss another podcast. Also, do me a favor. Go on to whatever podcast app you listen to us on and give us a rating and review. That really helps us rank in the searches. Thank you so much. Let's get into the podcast.
And I said, hey, you know, I'm Timothy Grant Harrell. You know, I've done this. And, you know, I really see your MuleSim and Airsoft as a great way for me to get an exit for PTSD, blah, blah, blah. And I get an email back saying, please don't. After everything you just said, you seem unhinged.
Welcome, brother.
Oh, welcome to you.
And Sergeant Major.
Are we?
Yeah, we're recording, man. We're good to go, bro.
And first, I'd like to say what a great honor and opportunity it is for someone like you to. This is the first interview I've done since the apocalypse. You know, after the apocalypse, and I'm happy that you're the one that got to do it.
Very good, yeah, for man. You. I'm excited to be here with you, and we got a lot of stuff to go over since the apocalypse, and I know you got your shit together, so that's why I wanted to talk to you.
You sound like you know your shit by saying what you said about me having my shit together, so I ain't even shitting you about that. So yeah, what you sorry, my papers are I've been using for I don't even know how long in the apocalypse it is, so I've been using those all weather writing pads used to get in the military, but yeah, they still work. Go ahead with your question and takes. If that's what you want to ask me.
Now, how did you get to be where you're at now?
Oh, you mean where I'm at? Because I'm not. Again, you don't have a.
How did you get to be a sergeant major over here?
Oh, okay. Yeah, and that's a great question. Where I should start? And you know, thank you for asking me that question. By the way. And it was very simple, you know. I was in the Army, get my nose and take clean, you know, my nose clean, get my thing. You know, I was 11 Bravo in the Army. And then I got out of the Army, and I said, hey, I'm not a wacky conspiracy theorist, you know, at all. Are you? I'm not. You know what I mean? So I got out, and I started realizing that, hey, things aren't the way they should be. And next thing you know, do you even know what an EMP is? An EMP is what they want you to think. It's where, you know, the shit hits the fan, the apocalypse. You know, we don't know. We just wake up and, you know, everything's cut off. Your energy's cut off. Your lights are cut off. Your water's cut off. Your porn hook's cut off. All that grinder, all that stuff doesn't work. Yeah, you're getting scared over that one. All that stuff doesn't work anymore. And, you know, it was chaotic. It was chaos. And people running around, you know, tribes from growing. I mean, you remember the Jehovah Witnesses that used to knock on your door and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
They had a guy named Negan. He said he was the same. It was crazy. And I just, I said, if crazy warlords and veterans are going to take over, why not me? And that's what I did. Hold on a second. I see about the time. Not finished, son. I'm almost done. Not finished yet. So I just, you know, I took over. I found a field. It was like a wildlife reservation for endangered snapping turtles. After the Sergeant Major Green moved there, they weren't endangered anymore. They were extinct. So, yeah, that's what, you know, so I moved to the fucking to the snapping turtle. Hold on a second. No. Brazil does not speak Spanish. It's the only country in South America that doesn't speak Spanish. All right, sorry about that. Spec Ops one of the calls and stuff. But I moved into the snapping turtle field, and I, you know, and I live off the land, just as God wanted me to. You know, if I got hungry, I found another camper, I narrated them. I took the food. If I got thirsty, maybe I want to rate them. Maybe I'm going to rate their neighbor. I got a little something to drink. You know, but, you know, I became the warlord. And, I mean, it was hard. It was hard at first. I walked around this jacket that I'm wearing. This is not Army issue. This was a whole nother demonic team. They were wearing like camo like this and orange hats. I don't know what fucking cult where they were from. And they were killing deer. And then I'm watching them. They're hanging deer upside down, chopping them. I'm not, you know, like, we don't need people like that running through the woods. So, you know, I took over. And I've been, you know, looking to be split running it ever since.
So what kind of gear you got right here? You got weapons over here. Looks like a sniper.
I shouldn't even tell you this. I don't know what they call it after the apocalypse, but during the before the apocalypse, we call it Opsekio. That's Opsek. You know, we don't want to tell what we're working with. But this, son, this is not even an airsoft gun. This is a .22 pellet long rifle. And I like to, you know, I sneak into these little airsoft ranges, the LARPing ranges, and I just know by the thing, by the boom. If I'm working as a sniper, they shouldn't see what I'm shooting with, where I'm shooting at anyway. I mean, I'm a sergeant major now. You know, my days of being a rifleman are kind of over. You know, I call a shot from the back. And it's kind of where I'm glad that you reported me today, and then you're going to report on me or interview me or not. Because, you know, when I was in the military, I was 11 Bravo, reconnaissance, you know, 11 Bang Bang, you know. And a lot of people in the airsoft community, they like to be 11 Bang Bangs. You know, you watch the airsoft videos, and, you know, I watch the, you know, the enemies on these YouTube. A lot of people have YouTube after the apocalypse, but, you know. But, yeah, when I see these, and I'm like, oh, this, you know, this is military simulation. It's a lot of fun. But the tactics aren't as realistic. And it's not because, oh, this guy hasn't been there. This guy. It's because of the limitations or illimitations. Well, let's just leave it at limitations. You picked the word. I got a lot of them. But there's no, in real combat, there's air support. There's indirect fire. You know, there's 11 Charlies, which are light infantry mortarmen. They run up and shoot, and then they can drop, pull the mortar out, shoot, do it. But you don't even have real frags for frag grenades in the new, how we're fighting. You know, we're fighting, I don't know why we're fighting with airsoft weapons after the apocalypse. You know, but we are, and I'm learning that, but we don't even have frag weapons. You know, you throw a little smoke, you're like frag. But when you think as a military man that I am, and I don't know if you're on my level, you're about to learn something now, if you haven't. But, you know, when you throw a frag grenade, the explosion is a minute percentage of the destruction and the injury. You know, it's the shrapnel that spins out. It's that one little tiny piece of metal that cut freaking Joe on his neck, and now he has an infection a couple of days later. You know, you don't have that. You don't have any indirect fire in airsoft yet. Hold on. Hold on. Hello. Joe, when you gave me this job at Secret Service, I wasn't your room service. I'm not going to break. No, I am not going to break. If you're hungry, call. I got to go. I'm sorry. I got a side job. I'm kind of like a caretaker for a delusional old man. You know, everyone's got a side job. But so
that sounds interesting.
In the combat nowadays, there's nothing wrong with it. But everyone, even the best airsoft team that has the best, most elite fighters, and you know, they can only do so much because they don't have, you know, helicopters that can drop, you know, bombs and Apaches and mortarmen. They don't have any of that indirect. So the fight is actually different. It's actually, you know, it would be unwise to ever think that you should be really, really, really good at close quarter combat in airsoft. Really good. Because you have to be, you know, like, what's the max effective range of M4? You know, 300 meters maybe? I don't know. But, you know, it shoots out, and then you have, and I'm just going to use this as an example. You shoot the M4 out, the round goes out, you have that round trajectory. It goes above the round for, what, 150 meters, and then it goes below the round for 150 meters, or, you know. And you know that, and you study that, and I know when I'm breaking contact, I need to break contact. I start figuring out if I'm breaking contact, hey, if I'm past 300 meters, there's no point to fucking shoot anymore. You know, if I, you know, I got fucking, you know, I have just as many mortarman capabilities especially being long-range reconnaissance, you know, hope I don't get compromised. But if I did, my backup are freaking two Apaches coming as fast as they can to light it up. But we don't have that yet in the, you know, airsoft. And I can sit here, you know, and I play with these LARPers, and, you know, we can think outside the box, and boom, there's something, but it's not as fun. So I've almost, you know, decided, or should I say that the airsoft community has decided for me. They gave me an award. They called me, how did they phrase it? I am the self-proclaimed commander of the green side. So you're welcome. for talking.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Everyone here, thank you.
Back to this. So I have, like, you know, decided that I'm going to bring the Mortarmen, the 11 Charlies, realistically to the airsoft community. I'm not going to be crazy and take a potato gun and dump a bunch of airsoft BBs in it and shoot it up. Or am I? I don't know. Maybe testing. But I have goals. Some of my goals, you know, one of my goals, as you know, was to take out one of the worst terrorist networks in the Milsim community. I'm playing with these airsofters, and you know, we're actually doing tactics now. I am, by the way, where's my cue cards? I got events I'm going to talk to you about, some operations I'm going to talk to you about, where I'm going to try these tactics and stuff. I can't even find my correct cue card. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I got so many more events and stuff. But I'm training with local teams. I'm training with Ghost Raiders, Airsoft LLC. I'm training with the Rayford Rangers. I've been talking. I haven't trained with them yet. Talking to Sergeant Airsoft, who is on he's on YouTube. It's Sergeant Airsoft. He's on everything else, Discord and you know, Facebook as Rooster. And I mean, he's just legit. You know, we know each other. He's not as legit as me, but he's pretty legit. He's old. He comes from the real life Ranger Recon Detachment. You know, we traded names. We know some of the same people. He's good. You know, Sergeant, man, he's okay. And, you know, he plays down there at the, Third Coast Airsoft. You know, those guys are all real life special forces, but they're not the same as other people have complained. That there's other areas, we're not going to say where, that doesn't exist anymore, you know. But I've heard in the airsoft place, in the airsoft community, that there was maybe some people on the other coast, you know, not on the East Coast, that were hiding behind their maybe tabs and rags and that, you know. But they're not trying to, one, improve the community. They're not trying to do positive game, you know, train like you fight. In the military, you know, it's very competitive. You know, in the Army, we're doing boxing once a week or combatants or, you know, we're playing, you know, it's competitive, but it's friendly competitive. You know, I can choke you out as hard as I want you to, but once you tap out, my man, it was a good roll, you know. I'm not scared to go to a paintball or airsoft event because I'm around my friends. They might be like, hey, we're going to bust you up, but they're going to bust me up with airsoft bullets, you know? And if they're trying to get some of the heaviest airsoft bullets plugged, they need to hit Pink Unicorn up. He's got some of the heaviest 6 millimeter BBs on the market. But I'm working with my local teams to, one, build cohesion together, but two, we're thinking like that. We're like, hey, why are we all going to run down this hill? There's 20 other guys that we've never trained with, and they're all green teams or brown teams, and we're all just running down the hill to just shoot each other. And you know, like, where is the bounce? Where is the cover me while I move? I'm a flank. You know, where are these routines and stuff? Because these routines are actually military simulations. And if I was behind enemy lines, on the front line, whatever, and I didn't have helicopters, like I said, or mortar, or whatever, all I have to stay in that game are my movements and communication and stuff. I don't want to play Milsim West where you can shoot me or I shoot you and lay down and say, all right, put the tourniquet on me. I'm getting back. That's not, what did I learn from that?
You know, not to get shot.
Like, what?
Not to get shot.
I guess, but really just to go to bring a tourniquet in a minute. I would like, I'm like DK, which is going to be at Fort 13, you know, and you know, on March or something. DK is a 3-day. I'm going to be there, by the way. The Heretics, they need me. I'm Command Sergeant Major Green. I'm going to be Command Sergeant Major Green commanding the Heretic. So, you know, you better not be on the other side. But NDK, for example, and that's not an event I'm putting on, but that's the event I'm very happy to go to, because it's going to be, you know, the Heretics are the green team, the Saviors are the brown team, and they're in a field that has fungus causing people to be zombies. So they have to move through villages. You know, the Heretics, me, we're trying to keep it going after apocalyptic. The brown team's trying to move through this zombie infested civilians on the battlefield, villagers, to find out where I am. We're going to fight. But while all that's going on, if you die, you may not get rescued in time and turn into a zombie. You may come day one and say, hey, I'm the best blue team, green team commander, super sniper, and I got an AK, and I love this. And then you get shot, and you just sit there for 15 minutes, and they're like, oh, now you're going to be a zombie for the next 3 days. It's something, I mean, I'm not out, I don't have to go home, but now, like the whole world has changed on me, you know? And I like games like that. Like, I like games that have stuff to do like that. You know, I've been to some LARPing airsoft games in Florida. They were more on the LARPing, post-apocalyptic side. But it was like, if you died, someone from your team would have to run all the way over, pick you up, run you all the way back to, you know, one of the checkpoints or bases and dump you. And after a while, people aren't going to want to save you anymore. You know what I'm saying? You're not necessarily feeling the burden of getting shot. But now your team's like, man, fuck Joe. He keeps dying. I got, you know, and now it's taking two guys out of the line or off the front end because, you know, they're doing this. The most high-speed guy that's running around saving someone. You always see that young guy. You know, the police people call him the whacker or whatever. He goes, I'm going to save this guy. And after three guys, now he's tired. He's like, you know, so I like games that have a more prison role. You know what I'm talking about. So, yeah, that's, you know, that's how Sergeant Major Green rolls. And, you know, great questions, if I do say so. Man, we your next question.
Now, when did you say this event was?
Oh, man, let me get a couple of my operators out. What did you say your security clearance was before? It doesn't matter. These are airsoft games. And you know what? To be quite frank with you, that's one thing that kind of scares people about airsoft, is because they find out that, like, maybe in California, guys that own airsoft used to be rangers. And they're like, intimidated now. Like, oh, shit, I don't want to go in. It's all way too serious. It's not that serious. You know, it's still airsoft. So, but yeah, I got some. So, I mean, let me run you through a couple of events that I'm happy to go to. I'm happy to, you know, talk about. I'll probably get to that one. We're looking at Operation Pocket Sand. That's going to be, that's coming up. Should have had that one in there. You're fired for putting that one in there. But no, the Decay is going to come up. It looks like it's coming up in March. 3-day event. 16, 17, 18, I think. I don't know. I don't even go by dates anymore. But check it out. It's on Pink Unicorn. As soon as I'm having it, Pink Unicorn Aerosol, they're having it at Fort 13. And the owner of Fort 13, a lot of people may or may not know. I mean, he looks like an old guy. And he is an old guy. But he's an old, dirty, salty guy from Israel. You know? And you know how them guys in Israel get down. You know, bang, bang, shoot them up. So... you know, I'm happy to go play with him, and you know, I'm probably going to kick his ass, but it, you know, it might be pretty close. We got an Operation Jungle Boot. That's going to be a long event. That's going to be July 5th all the way to July 9th in Black Ops right here in Fayetteville. That's going to be put on by the Ghost Raiders, Arizona, and it's going to be kind of like a Vietnam era. You know what I'm saying? Charlie on one side, America, you know, behind enemy lines and stuff. Hope you got your peanut butter. You know that's what the Viet Cong ate out in the woods, right?
Mm.
Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't know that. Yeah, they couldn't, the Viet couldn't, just so you know, they couldn't cook fires during the daytime, and they couldn't actually cook fires during the night either, because they were so close to the American enemy lines and stuff. So they actually would take peanuts and crush them up and make peanut butter, and then keep those on bags in their pockets, because they would just eat peanut butter all the time while they're out on patrols and stuff. And one time I read about that, and I was like, that's freaking delicious. I wanted to go on it. I wanted to test it. I didn't want to go crazy. So I called it a peanut butter fast at first. And during the waking hours from the time I woke up and until the time I went to sleep, I was going to eat peanut butter. I don't know what I was going to eat when I went to sleep. But I wanted to do it. I wanted to see it. And I actually was able to do it for about 3 or 4 days. Before I really started to notice, you know, maybe peanut butter and water isn't you know, sustainable for a long time. But if I'm doing like a 3-day fuel problem like this one right here, I might want to try something like that or not.
So peanut butter every day for how many days? So how long did it take you to go to the bathroom after that? You were probably backed up for a week.
So that's a post-apocalyptic technique. You know, they don't call me touching green for nothing. But yeah, the next event, the closest event before March is actually in February, and it's the one I was talking about. It's going to be called Operation Bone Crusher. And it's going to be the Third Coast Airsoft. It's going to be from February 16th to 18th. And Rooster, my man Rooster, you know, Airsoft Sergeant. He's freaking Rear Ranger Reconnaissance, you know, so he's going to be my green man contact. So whenever I tell people, hey, these events, you know, I may or may not myself be there, ask me, say, hey, Sergeant Green, who's your green contact? You know, who can I check in with? Who thinks like you? That we just want to go out, we want to have fun, we're going to play by the rules, yeah. You know, I'm not going to pull out. I need to pull out the
Yeah, you don't want to have to pull that out.
I don't need to pull that out. I'm walking around with a 1911. I'm calling the shots. You know, I'm actually, we're going to let the cat out of the bag. You know what I mean? In July, I'm going to have a three-day event. Two nights, 3 days, right here in July. I train in an airfield. Giant airfield, drone planes, remote control planes. They got a man-made pond all the way around it from remote control boats. There's no like actual farms. Like they keep up with like some places have like plants and people, but it's all remote control stuff. And it just so happens they love me. I mean, who doesn't? They love me. And that's why I train. I know a lot of veterans, a lot of just busy people, period. You know, we work. I'm 41. I have a wife, two beautiful young daughters, a 19-year-old son. I got a big family. I got a lot of stuff I have to do. And, you know, I might not be off every weekend for these awesome LARPing and airsoft events, but I do like to get out into some areas and shoot some airsoft guns, you know, and test out my camo. I like to dye different camo and see if it blends in. So these guys have let me do this weird stuff on their field for a very long time now. And, I just said finally, I was like, you know what? I've connected with a lot of good people in the airsoft community. I've connected with a lot of shitty people. But I bling bling popped them in the earlobe. That's my signature move. You didn't know, so lucky you didn't show.
Did not know that. You don't want to tell too much of your secret moves out there though.
Well, they don't call me Sergeant Major Green for nothing. You know, I got years. And years of secret move. And years of secret move. And years. You know how, what's his name, Mark Wahlberg was played in that one movie?
Oh, The Sniper?
No, Boogie Nights.
Oh, yeah, Boogie Nights.
Woo! Good move. Maybe something a little bit, I don't know if it's been different or not, but I'm going to have a lot of post-apocalyptic LARPers there. I'm actually going to have two different sides rivaling each other of post-apocalyptic LARPers, villagers, stuff like that. I'm also going to have a green side milsim and a brown side milsim. And it's going to go a little something like this. Me, Sergeant Major Green, I'm going to be right in the very middle. Nucleus. You know what a nucleus is?
I do.
I'm going to be the nucleus of this event. I'm going to be right in the very middle of the airsoft place. And around me, entrenched, are going to be the green guys that I've been working with. You know, saying my Rafer Rangers. They're going to be my protection. my Ghost Raiders. They're going to be my protection. And then outside of that are going to be the LARPers and their villages and stuff. And then on Friday night, the brown side has to insert into the airfield. By Saturday morning, they need to pick up and move into the LARPing villages and interact with the LARPers. You know, they might need to buy some supplies. You know, they ran out of water. Guess what? They can buy the water right there in the village. And cha-ching is really going to cost money. They need ammo, whatever, maps. But they're also going to have to gain access to the other side of the airfield. They're going to have to go through these villagers. They're not going to know which villagers like them, which villagers like the green side. You know, just like in Afghanistan, you walk through a village, and you see some little boys, They might like you, but they call the dad, hey, the Americans are walking through the village. You know, the dad hates Americans. He calls freaking the Taliban. You know, it's going to be the same thing. Mm. Hopefully, they gain access to the other side of the airfield by Saturday night, set up camp, do their reconnaissance, because by Sunday morning, they're going to have to do a raid and see if they can remove me, you know. And after they remove me, like I said, there's no overhead, there's no airplanes after the apocalypse. They're going to have to either kill me or remove me and transport me all the way back through all the LARPers and out of the airfield. You think that's going to happen? I don't know. Hmm. And, you know, that's a three-day event. And then once that event is over, we're going to have an index around noon. And then we're all going to meet back up at a local buffet at 2 o'clock that same day. We're going to be in the banquet room of that buffet. That'll give you 2 hours after the index to get dressed. We're going to have all-you-can-eat buffet, because who doesn't want to eat a great buffet after a three-day field problem? And then we're going to have an AAR, after-action review, like you do in the real military. And a couple win-wins. If we do the after-action review right after the field problem out in the field, it's not going to be worthy. The sun's going to be in people's eyes. People just got shot. They're hungry. They're ready to go home. It's not going to be good. If we say 12 o'clock, all right, index, meet at this location in 2 hours. Now they can get cleaned up, changing stuff. And then we're going to have it in the banquet room. So, again, if we just have after-action review in a regular Golden Corral, couple tables put together, people are going to be like, hey, these guys are free. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to do it in a little private area with everybody. Everyone's going to get to talk. They did something right. They did something wrong. We're going to go around. They're going to explain what they did and why. Even the lowest ranking guy, why did you run up this hill and get shot? Because the sergeant behind me told me to. Okay. You know what happened? You know, everything. Everybody is going to leave with two things 100% guaranteed. The bellies are going to get full. That's not my fault. That's Golden Corral's fault. And then the other thing, they're going to feel better. They're going to, you know what I'm saying? They're not just going to go out there. They're guaranteed they're going to have trigger time. You know, I've heard people talk about they paid a lot of money, did a lot of traveling, and didn't necessarily get as much trigger time as they thought. They pulled guard and just gave water to the injured people and the vets or seniors. You know, it ain't going to be that. This is going to be all or nothing. You know, Sergeant Major Green, if somebody's coming on my airfield, you getting trigger time. One way or another. Ching, ching. And, that's how we're going to do it. But I really like you got post-apocalyptic LARPers, like the guys that like to shoot and use the axes. But you also have the women who just want to cook and be a LARPer on the battlefield. And you know, the people who want to make necklaces and earrings and really sell them to other LARPers on it. You know, and that's a great environment as well. So why not combine the both? You know, I used to love, I don't know if you ever said, what were you in the Marines?
We'll be right back.
This episode is sponsored by Skirmish, the future of airsoft gameplay management. Are you ready to take airsoft to the next level? Skirmish's innovative gameplay solution keeps players and spectators engaged with real-time updates. Capture objectives, detonate targets, medic, and more at Skirmish-enabled fields. Skirmish tracks every action so you don't have to. Review past games, action by action, and follow your progress in national rankings. Phones are not required. If you want to find out more, head to skirmish.net and check out episode 157 of this podcast, where I talk with the owner of Skirmish about how it started and how it works. Stay connected, my friends. Oh, yeah.
Just kidding. Field place.
You better watch it now, though.
And in ROTC, after the war of terrorism, you didn't just fight the Op 4, the Geronimos, who were the infantrymen there, but they had civilians on the battlefield that cooked and just did stuff. You could, old ladies. Like, there was no worse feeling for me. I was in a reconnaissance scout team when we went to JRTC. I was so freaking hungry. And when we finally got into a village to occupy it, they started cooking freaking hamburgers and hot dogs and playing music. And just, they were having a great time. And I was just like, so bitter and worn out, and just like, I was like, oh, this sucks. You know, like, I can run around and chase them up for and Geronimo shoot at me, but I'm just sitting in a village watching these freaking civilians on the battlefield cook hamburgers and hot dogs and eat a half a hot dog and throw the rest in the woods. Come on. Give me a little hungry right now. I'm just thinking about that. I know what you're thinking. You're like, man, you were eating really good for after the apocalypse. Yeah, I'm Sergeant Major. You know, some Sergeant Majors take care of their soldiers and let them get all the good food. Some Sergeant Majors don't. They go first. No winners go first, and they take all the good food. Which one do you think I am by what you just saw me?
Well, if you ain't first, you're last.
If I ain't first, I'm last. Is that what you just said?
If you ain't first, you're last. So I'm guessing you're first.
You got them right on first. Okay? You get them right on first. All right, so let's keep going. This is a fun interview. I feel like you're learning. Are you learning a lot?
I mean,
you don't have to be modest. You're learning a lot. I mean, what a great, you're going to brag about this.
You're gonna brag. Well, what I'm hoping is, what I'm hoping is our viewers.
If you drove your Uber car and picked me up and we did a live interview, you would probably like, sky's the limit. You know?
I mean, I'm taking notes already.
All right.
I'm already taking notes. Now, how did you get your team together?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that. So, I had a good cotton mouth from you, but I'm going to. So, I mean, you got people now called preppers. Preppers. You know? And they prep. And they're living in fear. And they're buying stuff. And they're stockpiling that stuff. And they're like, everything's a prep because, it's, you know, the ball's going to drop eventually. You know what I did? I narrated those people. So I'm like, why did I have to prep? Why did I have to waste my money? I just got those guys. I did it. And when people saw that I was the man in charge, and everywhere I go, I'm the man in charge. You know the guy? You know the guy? You know all those Chuck Norris jokes? You know that one guy has to be the strongest guy in the room and has to allow his thumping chest and everything? He's my bitch in prison. So, yeah, when I was, when I was narrating all these people and just taking their stuff and making it my stuff, people, you know, they flocked to me. And then, you know, if I saw someone that looked like he had cauliflower ear, I might do some jiu-jitsu, and if he was good, I'd let him be on my team. If I saw someone that had, you know, some good trigger time and some good guns and stuff, I might let them be on my team. And just before you knew it, I built a good team.
In what way were you able to train your team?
So,
and how did you get them to listen to you?
It all really goes with this. And I can kind of tell that you have a low self-esteem for yourself, you know, and you'll get there one day. But I can tell, like many men, you know, they have low self-esteem. And they see someone like me, and they're like, this man's got his life put together. He's wearing a goofy mustache. He's having the time of his. I'm not.
Yeah, I'm kind of intimidated. I'm kind of intimidated already.
But someone hit. I was in the military. You were in the military. A lot of people, you know, we're all in the military. We've been Yoda. We've been in real life situations where it's like, if I didn't do a PMCS pre-maintenance checks of a vehicle before I left the wire, there's a big chance that the ACORN, which scrambles the freaking, you know, bombs, wouldn't work and somebody would die. You know, it was that serious. You know, it was. And when I got out of the military, my first job take care of my family. I still taught jiu-jitsu and did military stuff, but my first real non-military job was a Reed's Dollar General storeman. And it was like, I couldn't understand that I don't need to mean mug every shady person. I don't need to chase every guy that stole a candy bar out of the store. I don't need to, you know, it wasn't that damn serious. You know, nobody appreciated that. Not even my district managers, you know, not even the police. I got him. He stole some Skittles. License plate 5567. And I want you to call me when you catch him. I'll go to, you know, it's not that serious. And I had a lot of, just like everyone, I had a lot of seriousness. It's still in me. And when I first got out, I was teaching. I've always done Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Taekwondo. I did it my whole life. I did Jiu-Jitsu before Jiu-Jitsu was MACP and stuff, before it was in the Army. So I won the 2003 Taekwondo All-Army Championship, 2003 All-Army Force. You know, I love martial arts. So when I first got out of the military, jiu-jitsu was awesome for me because I'm 5'6". I could make fun of, I made fun of Army James from New York Inc. or Miami Inc. And he fought. He took the challenge and we fought and we both raised thousands of dollars to donate for PTSD. So then I started realizing that my younger life, hey, that's a great, martial arts is a great freaking, jiu-jitsu is a great exit for soldiers. You know, I could be serious. Like, I have to be serious when I'm grappling someone because they're trying to choke me. You know, they're trying to bend my arm. You know, they're going to stop when I tap out. But it was a great way for me to release that controlled chaos of the military. And I did that for a very long time. You know, I taught at the biggest martial arts school in the world, Fight Tiger. I opened up what is now the largest. I sold out of it when I moved up here, but I opened up Core Martial Arts, and now Core 2.0, or it's Core when I moved there, and I helped them open up Core 2.0, which is now the largest martial arts school in Tampa. You know, I worked my ass off. I trained combatives at fucking McGill, at Fort Bragg. You know, I did a lot of jiu-jitsu and gave back to them veterans, and I loved it. But then now I'm 41, and, you know, I'm still pretty good, and I can win. But now, like, it's taking me 15, 20 minutes to beat someone because they're 20 years old, and all they do is train and stuff, and then I go home sore, and, I don't want it. So I needed another place I could be crazy, you know? Like, there's not, like, tennis wouldn't give that to me, you know, unless I'm hitting little kids in the face with, you know, I needed something that I could be violent. I needed something that I could almost exaggerate my crazy veteran and not be considered a crazy veteran. And that's where I saw airsoft. You know, I first, you know, I saw from Vice News, I saw a video of Nielsen West. And I was like, you know, they were like, yo, this is a 3-day event. You know, these guys are doing war. And I was like, that's freaking me. I was like, I'm this guy. You know, I'm sorry, Major Green. You know, like if I could go be crazy like that for 3 days, you know, that might be a good enough fix for a whole month or whatever. And that's how I approached it. Just like that. Just like I'm talking to you now, you know. And I emailed Milson West. And I said, hey, you know, I'm Timothy Grant Harrell. You know, I've done this. And, you know, I really see your Milson and airsoft is a great way for me to get an exit for PTSD, blah, blah, blah. And I get an email back saying, please don't. After everything you just said, you seem unhinged. And I was like, I don't care if someone sees my videos. It's like, oh, he seems unhinged because I do make unhinged videos. But like, I reread that email a couple of times. And I was like, that was before Sergeant Major Green. Sergeant Major Green's from this. So I'm getting to that. But I read that email a couple of times. I was like, there's nothing unhinged about that email. It just says, I'm a veteran. I have two daughters. You know, I just want to get an exit. You know, Milson West seems like a great exit. The hell is unhinged about that? This guy preaches that this guy was preaching that on the video I saw. This little short guy named Joseph Warren or something, you know, he said he was, you know, like, I'm supposed to be there. So I didn't understand. And I started like going around to other, joining other airsoft communities and stuff. And I hadn't gone to an event yet. I'm gearing up, you know, I had like my airsoft gun, you know, gearing up, you know, I already had more, you know, I'm a soldier. It's not going to be, you know, you ain't got to, as soon as I learned how a hopper works, I'm good to go. You know, I don't need, you let me work the hopper and my bullet shoots straight, I'm going to have fun. If I get shot the first minute, I don't get, you know, who cares? But I start looking in all these other events because I'm like, all right, well, let me just find somewhere on the East Coast where I live. And there's a guy in Raleigh, and, you know, and I'm like, wow, this is going to be great. This guy in Raleigh. Well, guess what? The guy in Raleigh is part of the cadre of Milson West. And then this other group's part of the cadre. And everywhere, I'm like, this dude, Milson West, owns airsoft, you know, and he told me I'm crazy and I can't be an airsoft. So at first I was like, fine. And I started LARPing. I started doing post-apocalyptic LARPing, which kind of built my character, you know, Sergeant Major Green. He's a veteran who, after the apocalypse, took back over. You know, I love that. You know, it built me made me who I am today. But.
So they said you were unhinged based on, your YouTube videos?
No, this is before YouTube. Based on an email that said, hey, I'm 41. I'm a combat veteran. I like to do things that are exciting for my PTSD. I would love to come, you know, do some Milson West event. That You know, I didn't say, hey, I'm fucking crazy. I want to wear a bow mustache and spike. He didn't know that yet. I didn't know that yet. You know, I just said, hey, I'm a veteran. You know, I may, you know, I want to do exciting stuff to help me with PTSD. And he said, don't, please, please don't. Mm. You know, so I push away from that for a while. And then I get back on to a community page and I see Eric, Pink Unicorn. And he likes one of my posts. I like a couple of his posts. We go back and forth and privately start talking. And he's like, hey, I'm a veteran. I do airsoft stuff. And the first thing I'm thinking, I'm like, I know every veteran does airsoft. You guys are all Milson West fucking, you know, monopolizing terrorists, you know? Fuck you. And so I come back. As soon as he says, hey, I'm a veteran. I do airsoft. I say, hey, look, I am not allowed to play Milson West. You know, they think I'm unhinged. And I think it's going to be like, okay, it's over. And he says, I cannot stand Milson West for several reasons. And this was 6 months ago. And after that, he put me back, you know, he put me back on the horse. I was like, you know what? LARPing is fun. I love LARPing. But I love the aspect, you ain't going to tell no post-apocalyptic LARPer, hey, tonight let's lay in the bushes all night. It might rain, but tomorrow will be close as fuck to the bad guys. As soon as they wake up, we can shoot them in the head. No one's going to do that. It's going to be crazy. Army guy or a Mills, you know, like that. So I wanted to bring them both together. So that's why I said, and Airsoft East first was an inside joke between me and Eric. You know what? Airsoft East, you know, Mills and West, Airsoft East. And this was a joke. And right. Then I just started making videos because I take off work on Thursdays and Fridays. Fridays is like mine and my wife's date day. You know, we go out, we spend all day together and everything. So Thursdays, I go out and do my funny little Airsoft videos where I played both guys and everything. And I was like, let me see if I can do something with this. I only told one gentleman. His name is Grandmaster Phil Poplinski. He's like a veteran himself. Big brother of mine. He teaches Hapkido in Florida. And I told him months ago, I said, hey, look, I'm going to target this Milson West guy, but I'm going to target him through satire. You know, I'm not going to, oh, Milson West, a bunch of bitches, boycott them, you know. What's that going to do to me? Because they own everything anyway, supposedly. I was like, I'm going to start saying Milson terrorist. You know, playing on words, Milson terrorist. You know, like, I have plenty of Muslim friends. You know, they just, these Milson radicals. You know, they play Nazis and communists. So, you know, right. So I just, months ago, I started playing like, I'm going to take you down, you Milson terrorist. And next thing you know, I start getting screenshots and private messages from everybody showing me where, there's private group pages. You know, Milson plays this, join our team, you're with your friends, everyone loves everyone, we like everyone. But then the same guy who's saying that in the public has private Facebook pages just for him and his cult-like followers to make fun of those people who just spent all that money to come play with him. You know, so it just... So I was like, if he has that, people were sending me screenshots of that, of him taking my videos where I make fun of Milson terrorists and saying, this guy's deranged. I don't take him seriously. You should either. I was like, you're taking me a little bit serious now. So right? I messaged Eric back and I said, hey, this is getting kind of, this is getting a little interesting. You know, it's not like I'm going to go, you know, it's not like me or Eric or anyone from our side or their side is going to like come to fist fight. But I was like, there's a lot of people, both veterans and just civilians, you know, Rayford Rangers are mostly civilians. Ghost Raiders are a couple of them are in the DEERS, the late entry program now, but they're civilians. And both of them, Rayford Rangers said they went to an event in Asheville, North Carolina or Tennessee or somewhere. Milson West event, same thing, because they weren't in the military period. They got made fun of, and they didn't even get into one firefight. They got set in a spot and just handed water out to guys that were injured. And so I was like, you know what? It's not about, I don't like this guy, I want to do better. It's like Pepsi and Coke. He's going to do awesome the rest of his life, probably. But I want to play airsoft. I want people to have fun playing airsoft. You know, I want to have
that's all wild.
Go characters, you know? So it's just, we're going to roll with this airsoft southeast. And we're going to have fun with it. And it's, I mean, I have as much fun as the next guy. I'm not, you know, going to shoot someone without a mask. I'm not going to strike a match and light a fire. You know, I'm not going to do crazy, unsafe stuff. But at the same time, I'm not going to be so, hey, get down, you know, I'm going to have fun doing it and stuff. And, you know, so that's going to be.
Well, I'm looking at your YouTube channel right now. And it looks like you got a video you released 4 days ago called Airsoft East.
Yes.
And I'm going to bring that up on the screen real quick.
Do it. I'm being serious now.
We're going to see how unhinged this is.
Yeah, that's normal me. And, I made that video because I read, everyone sent me a screenshot of Josh Warren, the owner of Milson West, where he said I was unhinged, mentally deranged, and stolen valor. And I was like, dude, I will brag all day that I'm unhinged and mentally deranged, but, like, you know, if you really think I'm a sergeant major, then, you know, maybe you're the one that's unhinged. But check it out. Anything on the video, or are you just watching it?
Yeah, I got the video on right now.
Yeah, I named up. You know, I was born right here at Fort Bragg. My father's older brother was already in the Green Berets, already did a tour in Vietnam. My dad dropped out of high school during the Vietnam War to go to fucking Vietnam. You know, he stayed in Vietnam 3 years before they sent him home. He stayed in Special Forces for 21 years. Minus the 5 years sometime in that career when he was a Golden Knight when I was little, you know, like I've been around four elites my whole life, including people I served with, people that raised me, and people I hang out with now, and none of them ever belittled someone that served. It doesn't matter what MOS, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter what MOS you are, you know, they didn't belittle people, and I knew for a fact they were whores and stuff. So for me, you know, I'm not going to belittle, you know, especially something like Milsim. Everybody wants to learn how to shoot, move, and communicate in Milsim. So why not have fun and teach people?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm looking at your channel right now, and I'm seeing, yeah, I could see why they said unhinged.
No. That channel was not around. That's what I'm saying. That channel was not even around when I contacted him. I kind of made that channel to make the unhinged satire, just because of Milsim West, and I call it After Apocalypse 22 for a few reasons. Number one, I like to play like it's After Apocalypse, but we think about Mission 22, veterans. You know, we lose 22 veterans a day. You know. But strangely, a lot of the and I'm not putting nothing down on Mission 22. We need more programs like that. But it hurts because when Mission 22 says, hey, we have a skiing trip that's free for veterans. Well, most of these veterans can't afford to go all the way out there. They got to pay their way to get out, all that stuff. So I started thinking, hey, what's a fun thing you can do right where you live? Run around the woods and have fun with your airsoft gun. You know, take your old digital uniforms and tie-dye them a different color, do some, you know. So I started thinking of activities that you could do to help you not be a Mission 22. And everyone who's been deployed knows what an after-apocalyptic world looks like. Sadly enough, when we watch these after-apocalyptic TV shows and movies, we portray exactly what Afghanistan looks like or what parts of Iraq. You know, we've been to after-apocalypse and stuff. So I love the idea of people saying, hey, you know what? Let's have fun. Let's go. That's why me and Pinky are going to get along so well. Let's have fun. You know, I got some cool gear. You got some cool gear. You know, I have a cool gun. You have a cool gun. I tell people a lot when they're like, hey, what kind of gun should I get? I don't have a lot of money. I'm like, the less money you spend on your gun, the more fun you may have. You know, if you go out there with a bah, 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 it might be, yeah, it could be fun. But if you go out there with a boom, boom, you're definitely going to have to run more and hide more and think a little bit more outside the box. You know, it's going to look a little bit more like post-apocalyptic. So when I host events, I'm going to take a really strong Milsim guy, and he's always going to be the leader of the brown side. And the brown side's always going to be tough Milsim, governmental, we got all the expensive stuff. And the green side is always going to be led by me, and it's going to be more post-apocalyptic, LARPing, guerrillas, you know, kind of stuff.
I'm watching your video you put out. It's After Apocalypse Epic 4, Military Aged. I see you out here teaching tactics and like stealth.
I am like a little kid running through the woods having fun, but every one of my videos in a funny way, I teach something. I might do a packing list. The last video I did a packing list. And yeah, I brought a lot of crazy stuff and I forgot water and stuff. But the whole point of that was I was showing that, hey, sometimes when I slept at nighttime in Afghanistan with my team, we didn't whip out our sleeping bags and stuff because we're 4 men behind enemy lines. We might have to get up and run. So we put on our Gore-Tex or our mop gear and then our Wookiee, you know, and that was cool. So I dropped little, you know, fun things that you can learn because it's not that serious. I did the same thing. I have a whole Facebook page called Tony Horton Gracie. And I did the same thing because I was a combatives instructor for the Army. And when soldiers were deployed to Afghanistan and Iraq, you sit around in your barracks, you know, and you're bored and you walk. So I would make every day, I would make a 45-minute video every single day for like 2 years where I taught a real jujitsu move, but I taught it as a silly character and I played current music so they could kind of hear a couple of the current songs from back in America. I tried my best, just like Pink Unicorns. I mean, he nailed it. I try my best every day to show people that, hey, it feels way better to laugh and know that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're in, it's not that serious. You know, we're live. You know, I never appreciated it. I used to hate when I talked to people as a little kid. And I'd be like, how you doing today? And they'd be like, oh, I woke up. Good Lord woke me up today. And they say something like that. And I just like, weird to say. You know, and it'd always be like older people that would say it. You know, I'm just like, that's a weird thing to say, you know? But then it's like, after going to Afghanistan and seeing how many of my buddies didn't come back, you know, I'm that guy now, you know? People, hey, how you? I'm glad to be alive. I'm glad to have a beautiful wife. I'm glad that I live in a house, you know? I'm glad that I have children. You know, like, it takes a lot to really piss me off, you know? And I also take PTSD meds. But it takes a lot to piss me off. And, you know, if I have to wear a funny mustache and make videos that maybe one or two guys make fun and call me unhinged, but everyone else says, hey, your videos are so funny. Thank you. You know, that's good for me. I'm not trying to be Adam Sandler. I'm not trying to, like, you know, I make a lot of money on my OnlyFans page. So if I was trying to make money online, that's not my other job, okay? This is for fun, if you know what I mean. But I wear a mustache in those videos, too. I'll send you a link later.
Yeah, I definitely want that link. I love the Sergeant Major character. I think it's awesome.
And it's only going to get better. And I mean, like, when we were playing around, like, After Apocalypse and stuff, like, I have a training Discord group page. You know, I have a training page where we talk. We don't just say, hey, those guys suck. Hey, what's the coolest new thing? Like today, we started the morning by me saying, hey, guys, I want everyone in your own words to tell me, what's the difference in an ambush and a raid? And everyone, you know, there's no wrong. I mean, if you say an ambush is a freaking stoplight and a raid's a zoo or something, you know. But, I mean, like, everyone pretty much knows that. One gentleman asked, hey, I see ambushes as you hit them on the slot on the cup. Someone's walking up, boom, you know, where raid I plan more. You know, someone else said, hey, I see ambushes as, you know, someone walks into it, raids as we're walking into it. You know, someone else was like, hey, I see ambushes as we can see everything because we're shooting outside. Raids, we can't see that much because we're, you know, and it's helping each other build up, you know, because there's no wrong answer. And then by the end of the day, we're like, all right, think of some scenarios where maybe you did a mission where you were like, hey, we're going to go raid this house. And really, you should have just went up as close as you could to that house, sat down and waited like a 5 minutes for the guys to come out and could have ambushed them there instead of going in and figure out which rooms are closed. You know, and like we get into talks and stuff. Like there's a lot more to Sergeant Major Green than the funny videos and stuff. But I'm not going to go to, I've risked my life and you have and a lot of other veterans have. I'm not going to go to an airsoft. I'm not scared of getting shot with BB guns, but I want to feel comfortable everywhere I go. You know, I don't want to feel like I'm going to an event where people are like, I want to go. I don't have to be the leader of the event. Right. I want all the great guys' events, but I want to make sure that if I'm going to take the time out of my life, if I'm going to leave my wife and kids for a couple of days, if I'm going to travel and everything, it's going to be around people who I enjoy being around. It's going to be, you know, and if it's going to be someone serving on my team or under my detail, it ain't just going to be a, hey, good to have you. It's going to be someone that we've actually drilled, you know. If I can't, we got people in other states on my Discord that we start these thoughts and talks. You know, we bring out chalkboards and, you know, we keep it going and stuff because, and it's the little things like that. I'm bringing it back to the crazy Sergeant Major Green, but we literally are taking, in my study groups, my airsoft study groups, we're taking the major battle drills and then we're saying, how could these work better or different? How do they work different in airsoft? You know, you can't enter and clear a trench, you know, frag out, you know, that may not work again, you know, throwing a smoke bomb and saying frag may not have the same effect, you know, as some, you know, how can we do this? You know what, you know, I saw, and I don't know, you know, I'm a newbie. I'm a newbie with aerosol, you know, but I'm not a newbie with miles here, which is aerosol with lasers in the arm, you know, I'm not a newbie at camp. I'm new to this community and that's awesome because I'm excited to meet everyone and everything. But it's like, mm-hmm. I saw a video. And again, this I'm sorry I keep talking shit about one organization, but it's like everything negative that I've seen is one organization. But I watched another Mielsen West Cadre guy who's like Fox Desert is the name of his page. And his page is like his GoPros, and every video is about how he belittles the guys he's playing with. And that's, you know, that's, we ain't even talking about that. But in one of the videos, it was a dude, it was a black guy, and he was blind shooting. He was laying down and he was shooting over, and this guy was far away. I mean, this dude, Cadre, Jet, or whatever, is far away. So, I mean, if he got shot, it would have been a legit shot. It would have been like, oh. And he was like, stop, stop. And he ran up, and it was against the rules. Okay, it's against the rules. Leave it alone. It's against the rules. You know, it's, but he stopped. He fussed everyone else in that trench out that wasn't even on this guy's team. He went and got freaking Josh Warren. This is all video. Josh came all the way back up. Josh and him found that guy. They belittled this guy. You know, it was like, damn, bro, just tell the guy I can't blind shoot. It's like, I didn't even see anything wrong with that because you were far away. This dude, you know, it's like, that's the kind of guy. Hey, and the only reason I'm bringing that up, my man, if you watch this video, I want you on my team. I'll make you a first sergeant. But, you know, I want people who are passionate. You know, we're all big kids and we should have fun doing this, you know, and it shouldn't be the suck in the military. Was cool, and it's cool to say I went through certain schools that were very sucky and I earned these patches, but that ain't me no more. I don't want to be that no more. And I know that when hobbyists, whether they're civilians or veterans, especially veterans, they got beat up knees and stuff. The suck ain't there for me. You know, I don't want to go to places where it's like, all right, we're going to yell at you. This is basic. I don't want that. I want the suck to be, I got hit 5 times with a foam baseball bat and then shot and had to sit there, you know? Like, I want to be in the game, engaged in the game, playing with other people who are engaged in the game, you know? And if people spend more time, stop the game, free tax op, Article 17-11, did you not go to tax op, Bible study, you know? Like, damn, dude, if he's wearing brown, he's wearing green, shooting each other. If he's wearing eye, bro, you know, like, I don't need it to be that serious. You know, and I hope other people don't. And it's like these people that I'm talking to, like, you know, I'm talking to Rooster. Rooster, the same age as me. He was in Ranger Recon Detachment. You know what I'm saying? He feels the same way I do. And he only plays at places, like he said out of his own mouth, verbatim, if I get it right. He's like, you need to start coming to Third Coast Airsoft. He's like, the guys there are special forces, but they won't let you kiss their ass. I'm like, okay, go then. You know, when they let me wear the mustache. Kind of thing. So,
hey, I mean, you got to be Sergeant Major when you go. That's most of our experiences are with Third Coast. The two big events I went to, Third Coast. All my boys. That's where they started. They've gone to Theta events. I think Theta events, a couple of those, and something else local that was kind of smaller scale, but. But all the other Bill Sims was Third Coast, and they love it. Yeah, you know, they got the helicopter, you know, flies around. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, they make it fun.
Right. I saw that. I saw the helicopter. I looked at their page when he said that. I looked at the link and the gallery, and I saw, I was like, oh my. You know, so it's like, if you're going somewhere and people have put their life and dedication into making the experience fun for you, why would, you know, like, I don't walk around with my wife and kids to Walmart acting like Sergeant Major. You know what I'm saying? But, like, why not go out and have as much fun as you can and get as much worth as you can? You know what I'm saying? If I went to a three-day event and didn't get any trigger time, something's wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure.
The whole time. You know?
So, now, what? Now, how, let's see. October was just a few months ago. Do you go as Sergeant Major Green on Halloween?
No.
You should. You should.
Not yet. The mustache is kind of weird because my father had a big mustache like that when he was. I mean, it was way low. I mean, I was a little kid, but he used to always lie and be like, hey, "I don't have a mustache to put it in like here." And so the big baggy mustache kind of thing. Well, it kind of takes me because he passed away, so it's kind of like. That's always a funny thing was I always remember, you know, my dad was a cool guy with a big mustache. But I like to do that, you know, and it always, like brings me back, you know, when I look at pictures and stuff, and I do that. So it's kind of funny for me.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I love it.
Okay.
Love
it. That's maybe the only thing that me and Pete Uniform probably don't see eye to eye on. I don't play non-scary on Halloween. I don't care, okay? And you should be ashamed of, if you're watching this, Eric, Pete Uniform, you should be ashamed of yourself. I do not, hey. I'm playing blood, vampires, you know, and my kids are too. It's Halloween.
Oh, yeah, that was funny when he told me that story about. Oh, yeah, that's good. Hell, yeah, man. Well, what do you got? So you got a bunch of stuff coming up. You're going to go. Now, when you host your events, like the ones that are coming up in March, July, or whatever, some of the events you're going to, do you go? As Sergeant Major,
I don't break character. I was going to not break character. I was going to not break character tonight, but you know, it came out. But I don't break character, and I do not break character. I go. The mustache might fall off eventually, but Sergeant Major will never break character.
I love it.
I will never break character, and I will be serious. And if I get shot, I will be the loudest screamer and the most in pain screamer. You know, and you know, like I'm gonna have the most fun that I can have, no matter what. I would grow a real Sergeant Major Green mustache, but my wife won't let me.
What kind of Sergeant Major are you?
behind every great Sergeant Major is a greater woman.
I agree. Yes, sir. My wife and I have been married 31 years.
Congratulations.
Hell yeah, man. Now, I'm going to tell you what we should do. The next time I have you on, I always have people on, you know, more than once, usually. And we should have on a handful of your guys that, you know, from your team that know you as Sergeant Major. And we'll have a group session on here.
I'm down for that.
Yeah,
I'll bring both my those two local teams that I train with. You know, one plays green, one plays brown. I'll bring them both on, and we'll love it. Maybe we'll record some of the training footage, so you can see how actually Sergeant Major Green, you know, starts training sessions funny. You know, halfway through, you know, I love to train and get serious, and then when we finish, we always finish on funny notes. So
I saw a pair of arms over here.
Yeah, so you know, before the apocalypse, you know, I had a wife and kids, and I loved them very much, and you know, every Thursday I take it. You know, I don't get out of character when I get dressed up. When I get all dressed up in the morning time on Thursdays and get ready to go out and do my weird LARPing and stuff, I tell my kids and wife, I'm like, hey, I might not make it back today. It's gonna be kind of it's gonna be serious. So you know, and I think it's great, man. My wife likes this. My wife thinks I'm the biggest dork. I don't know how your wife and other airsoft. My wife thinks I'm the biggest dork in the world.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's cool. Yeah, that'd be fun. So, you guys, did you meet your wife before you were in the military or after you got out?
Nope, I actually met my wife after the military. Right after the military, which was. I say this all the time, like she didn't even know what she was getting into. You know, my wife wasn't from a military family. She'd never been around a military post. And you know, and I was joking around a minute ago, but I'm going to say this, and since it's cliche, for every crazy veteran out there that is married, and I hope every veteran out there finally finds someone that they love. But, you know, I give it to the spouses because they put up with our ups and downs, and, you know, and sometimes we don't even know what makes us mad. You know, it might be a song or memory or just something weird, and your spouses put up with that. You know, they didn't sign up for that. They didn't know what was going on, you know, so it's just wow to that, you know.
For real. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hear that, man. Yeah, my wife and I got married. I still had a couple years left in the Corps. So she knew all my buddies. She was around the base. You know, she knew, like, we were the party group, you know, we all partied together and stuff. So she was kind of used to that part. But, you know, after you get out, it's way different because you don't have that camaraderie anymore. And it's a big thing, man. So, yeah, it was it's been a journey for sure. 31 years hasn't been all ups, you know. It's been a lot of ups and downs for sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's this been cool, bro. It's good to talk to you and see where you're coming from. The stuff when I did the one with Pink Unicorn, and we talked about that with Milsim West. I had no clue. I've never really heard anything about them. I haven't experienced anything like that because, you know, we didn't go to any of their events, and, you know, mostly Third Coast events over here. And they have, you know, they have some events over at GTI, which is in Barnwell, South Carolina. It's like 2 hours away from me. It'd probably be, you know, however long, it's fairly close for you if you were up there in North Carolina, because I'm only an hour away from the North Carolina border. And yeah, so I'm right down 85, right off, you know, I'm real close to 85. So these events down here with Third Coast have been great. And I have heard of Milsim West, heard of American Milsim and a handful of others, but I never talked with anyone that went to some of these that, you know, had any issues or talked about it, you know. So when Eric was talking about the some of that stuff with, I thought maybe, okay, he had a run in with somebody or one of his friends had a run in, you know, it was just this little thing or whatever, and then I find out it's this, there's a whole bunch of shit going on. Like, this dude doesn't know how to shut up, apparently. I don't know.
I felt like maybe, like, yeah, when he came to me like that, I was like, maybe he knows of me or, you know, because I am crazy, you know? I was like, maybe, you know, maybe I should back off. But then when I, like, started seeing and finding, I was like, no, you know, enough is enough. So, you know, if there's one more thing, I wanted, in the last video that I made, which I just published yesterday, I put his stuff so much on blast. And now I'm done. I'm done putting him on blast. I'm never going to play with those guys. I'm happy the people at the beginning of being a smart ass, but thank you so much for letting me be on the show, because I want people to see that, hey, I am Sergeant Major Green. I have fun and I play that, but I am a normal person and I love to train and I love to talk. And I want to meet people here on the East Coast. It's not like, oh, West versus East. I'm Tupac. I live on the East Coast. I have a wife and kids. I can travel and play, but it's going to be much more realistic if I stay on the East Coast, because I can travel and play more often. So for me, in a realistic choice, not even a personal choice, I'm going to play like at Third Coast, Airsoft, and all these places. You know, so why not?
I mean, travel's a big deal, man. We're not going to drive all the way across the country, or fly with our airsoft gear all the way across the country to go to a Milsim when we have options here, you know. And there's a bunch of options up and down the East Coast, you know. So we definitely understand that with me and my boys. You know, the couple of Milsims I've been to just as a photographer. I just went as a, you know, the camera guy following these guys around. And and my sons went and played. So they've been to, I don't know, 10 different MilSims, and it's, you know, they've always had a great time. Everything's always been, you know, pretty cool. They had some pretty immersive kind of MilSim experiences where, because of the weather, like they did a Vietnam event here in South Carolina, and it was, they had to have all their proper gear from Vietnam era, right?
And
oh, dude, it's fun. It's so fun. I didn't go to that one, but I did all the, yeah, I saw all the videos. I edited all their videos with their, you know, they were in GoPros and stuff. And it rained from the time they got there until they left, nonstop. It was like monsoon rain. It was like, it sucked. It sucked for them, but they loved it because it made it more immersive. Like, okay, we're really in Vietnam right now, you know, because South Carolina, you know, it's North Carolina too. We have a lot of our foliage in the summer, man, is thick. You know what I'm saying? And it's just pouring rain. They could not ever get dry. And they came home. And surprisingly enough, they're two, I think I've got this. They're M16A1s that they took, okay? These things, I can't remember what brands they are. I have them hanging on the water here. But those things had the battery, like no water got in them at all. And they're not even like an expensive brand, but these things were great the whole time. But there's a lot of options for MilSims up and down the East Coast. We don't have to go all the way out there for that kind of experience. I feel the same way as you, man. What you were saying earlier, exactly the same. If I was going to go to a MilSim, I would not, I don't care about going, or I'm not interested in going to somewhere for a quote unquote boot camp experience. I've already had it. I don't need it. Okay. Now, I think it's cool to offer that for people that have never gone in the military, or can't go in the military, whatever, and they want to experience that for 3 days and get yelled at and whatever. Okay. But that wouldn't be me. That I don't want that personally. So, but the thing that strikes me is this group or these people, you know, Josh Warren and these guys at MilSim West, that they're targeting veterans. Like, I thought it was, when Eric first told me, I thought maybe, okay, what are they doing for clicks? Are they trying to get views? Like, is this like a, they're trying to get, you know, stir up some shit so they can get more, you know, more people involved in their MilSims, or
I don't know that.
I don't know. Is that what it is?
No.
Is that what you think? No.
That's what I do.
Right.
I think, and I'm going to end the video on this because I know you're a big fan. I think that you have two types of veterans in this world. You have veterans that loved what they did in the Army or the military and had a lot of fun and want to share that fun with everyone. And then you have veterans that didn't have so much fun in the military, and they take that toxicity and bad experience and, you know, misery loves company. And yep, that's the product that MilSim West is. But the first type of veteran is the product that me, that you, the Third Coast Airsoft, the Pink Unicorn, that all these other people have. And there's no reason why, if MilSim West has a great monopoly of clicks and networks, why we should have a great clicks and networks to bring it to the other civilians and veterans. So my last message before we tune out is, all you radical MilSims out there, I'm coming for you.